I was just like, just eye roll, just of course. And I reverted back to maybe past conceptions that I had about my understanding of the other side.
I felt like I just kicked his puppy. I mean, that was the look on his face.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenged their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad that they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, and more clarity about our own views. I'm so glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about two coworkers on different ends of the political spectrum who found themselves at odds over a hot-button word. Preston Brightwell and Madeline Jones are with me. They work together as field directors at the Dignity Index. Preston, Madeline, hi. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
So what is the Dignity Index itself?
Yeah, the Dignity Index is a 1 to 8 scale that measures contempt and dignity in our language, in the way that we treat each other in a moment of conflict or disagreement.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 8, 1 is...
It really is really strong language. It's contempt at the highest degree to the point where it's like calling for genocide. Language of genocide, we really see in a 1. As you move up the scale from a 1 to a 2 and a 3 and a 4, that contempt is still there, but it gets a little bit softer. So at a 4, you're kind of like insults, name calling. And then you jump on the dignity side, that's the 5 to 8. This is where you see that curiosity. It's not that we're agreeing. It's not about this kumbaya, you know, but let's get down to our disagreements. So let's do it in a way where you're recognizing that inherent human dignity in people as you, when you treat them the way you treat them in moments of conflict and disagreement.
What makes the Dignity Index different from every other bridge building space is that most people say, hey, find a common point that you agree on. I think that's fantastic. You should find common ground. But I never knew what to do when I disagreed. Because I was like, I'm just going to turn away because I don't have any common ground with you. I already know what you think. The Dignity Index allows us to get curious.
So what was the project that you two were working on that prompted this tough moment for you where you had to lean in rather than lash out? And since political difference is at the heart of this, we need to know where you stand.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I'm conservative, typically vote Republican and lean right.
I'm pretty liberal, should have blue hair, actually. It would match the ideology a little bit better.
We were working on a project that we've used the tagline in the past at the project, you know, dignity is the new foundation of patriotism. And in that conversation, the dialogue around the word patriotism came up.
So, Madeline, you had a reaction then to the use of that word in the tagline? I mean, was this a discussion about what should our tagline be or how should we talk about ourselves?
Yes, it was pretty much a foundation moment of, can we use the word patriotism as a tagline, inviting people to use dignity in their daily conversations? And because our audience is mainly students, I looked at the word patriotism and I immediately thought of very right-wing groups that I didn't feel like represented American ideas. And I thought that the word patriotism may actually repel students who'd be interested in what we're trying to do in joining our project. And so I was like, we need to pull that word out. We're not doing dignity as the new patriotism.
Do you remember, Preston, what your initial thought was? Like, what went through your mind when Madeline said, I have a problem with the word. Like, I don't think that's going to work for us.
I mean, I knew going into this project, this work, that Madeline and I definitely saw differently on issues, right? I knew we were on different sides of the aisle politically. But when that came up, I was just like, just eye roll, just of course patriotism. Like, of course we have to have a conversation about this. Of course we got to dive into this. Like, you know, and I reverted back to maybe past conceptions that I had about my understanding of the other side and just kind of, you know, Madeline and I at that point had begun to develop a friendship and develop, you know, a common working flow. And I just reverted back to that old, like, gosh, of course, here's, you know, here it is, these, you know, lefties or whatever you want, whatever term you want to use. But yeah, definitely a lot of eye rolls and all my assumptions came flowing in on what I think I could predict what she would say next, you know, and I would go back to all the lines that I'm fed about people on the left and their sound bites. Like I was just expecting her to just lay out sound bites and I was just like ready for it, you know, and I began to even start jumping into what my own responses to those sound bites and the points that she might bring up. And I stopped listening to her as a human being.
Madeline, what was going on for you in that moment when you saw him roll his eyes, when you brought up your concern?
I felt like I just kicked his puppy. I mean, that was the look on his face. And I do remember leading up to this moment, I was thinking, I don't think we can have this word on here. Like, it's going to cause too much conflict. Too many people are going to turn away from our message if they see that word. And I think personally, there is a little bit of disappointment that something like that could trigger people. But I was also just like, I wouldn't join a group that had the word patriotism on it as a student. I would assume that's a very right-wing group.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring it up because this mission is so important. And it's so important that we have both sides attracted to it. And I just felt like maybe, you know, the 19-year-old me that's on a campus in Arkansas may not like that word.
So what did you do in the moment to try to keep that, to stay curious, to set aside the certainties and the assumptions that you mentioned a moment ago, Preston?
Yeah, it really was the application of what the Dignity Index is and what we've learned, what we've been trained on. I have to actually engage with Madeline about this concept and understand where she's coming from on the other side. So I had to like mentally maybe take a breath and mentally say, I'm missing something here, because Madeline has this perspective and she's talking about it in a context where she thinks that a lot of other students have the same perspective. And I can't just ignore that. I'm going to listen. I'm going to ask a question that's maybe clarifying, not insulting, but I'm going to ask a question like, why do you think that this will, you know, trigger students? Tell me more about that. Explain that to me. And then sit and listen.
How about for you, Madeline? What do you remember choosing to do in that moment to stay uncomfortable, but also productive in this particular instance?
Well, I want to say that it was about 20 minutes before I decided we were going to actually go somewhere, because I just wanted to be right. I was like, no, you don't understand. Let me explain this to you. And that obviously gets you nowhere. Because we both have our beliefs about this. We've both had our experiences that led us to basically how we define that word. And I think after that, trying to convince him that I was, you know, factually correct on something that's subjective, I decided, okay, let's sit here and listen to each other. And that's really what we preach. We have to practice what we preach. That's what makes us different. It's not that we try and find common ground. It's that we lean in and we get excited and curious when we have a difference, because it's an opportunity to learn from someone else. They know something I don't.
I mean, did you keep the word patriotism in your tagline, or dignity is the new patriotism? What, Madeline, you're nodding. It stayed.
We did.
You didn't win. So you didn't feel like you lost that ultimately? I mean, how are you able to move through that when you feel like, when ultimately it didn't get eradicated from that particular usage?
I think that I viewed it as an opportunity to explain what it means. I was like, okay, even if this does upset someone, maybe they will talk to us about it instead of just running the other direction. I also think that we do have different messaging based on the group we are talking to. And so there are groups where it's like, that is inspiring. People are like, tell me more. And there may be a group that's like, I'm sorry, what is this? But even in those groups, it's kind of fun because you can challenge them on basically, I act as Preston in a sense in that conversation on like, hey, why does this word bother you? You know?
It's funny because I was getting ready for a presentation and I was working with a group that we were about to present to. And I sent our slide deck ahead of time. And it had that tagline, Dignity, the new foundation for patriotism. And she, for a moment, stopped and said, can you explain this to me? And this group was a little, you know, left-leaning. And it was interesting to see in that moment, she brought up, totally independent of Madeline, the exact concern that Madeline was talking about and trying to warn us of. And because of the conversation I had with Madeline about it, I was able to articulate some of the learnings we came from that. And again, while she maybe didn't see the word differently, she was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. I love that. The reason why I asked was because I was worried that there was all this baggage behind that word. So your explanation to me has reassured me that there's not all that. And it really is just this, you know, very sincere and honest definition of patriotism. But I was worried before. And so I was like having this moment. I was like, wow, that only confirmed what Madeline was saying to me, but it was also an opportunity to have conversation about it. And it led to this great moment to explain it and have this person who we were about to present to and her group like really dive in and understand it.
Thank you so much for sharing both of your perspectives and kind of being vulnerable and willing to revisit that with us. So what's been going on in your in your organization, and what's been going on in your own minds as you've watched over the spring of this year college campuses really explode into protest that has turned violent in some cases, certainly a lot of hostility and a lot of very strong feelings, and, you know, maybe also some dignified behavior. What have you been thinking? Oh, no, like, how can we ever do our job? Or
I think I wish I was surprised by what's going on college campuses. I graduated a year ago, and I remember sitting in classrooms, and you can feel the tension. People don't feel comfortable speaking, and that's very sad to see on a campus where that is exactly where we need to be okay saying what we believe and what we know. That's where we're challenged. This is the biggest growth opportunity you have, and to see people just sitting in discomfort, that's upsetting. And then to see these protests this year, I think it's just a reflection of that. It seems like it was only natural after what I experienced. I think that we should have compassion for a lot of these protesters and students. It's very hard to see the imagery we're seeing online. Imagine waking up and right before you're going to school, you are literally seeing images from war-torn areas. I mean, that does something to your head. And then you have to go and pretend that, you know, you didn't just see what you saw. If you're an empathetic person, it's hard to just set that aside. I want to acknowledge that. But I also think that means that we have to talk to people, even when they disagree with us.
Really, what we're hoping is to reaffirm a message where people get to exercise their rights. People get to say what they think. That's what a democracy needs. People need to say what they think. But you have to say what you think in a way that invites others to do the same. You know, what I think part of the message of what we're bringing here, and something that I learned specifically, even when I reflect back to the conversation we were having around patriotism, you know, I do have love of country, but how can I love my country if I hate half the people in it? Just simply. Now, again, that doesn't mean that I have to agree with half the people in it. I don't even maybe have to like half the people in it. But if I treat them with dignity, maybe we can have some conversations that solve problems. You know, we definitely, a goal is to ease division in our country. And we even talking about preventing violence sometimes, because we do see the connection in our work. You know, rhetoric and violent rhetoric can lead to actual violence, can lead to calls of violence. And that's what we're trying to prevent and what you're seeing in some of these scenarios. So yeah, we have a lot of issues. Yeah, there's a lot of problems. Yeah, there's a lot of contempt and there's hate for each other. But what I would say, the old American, you know, tradition is we can figure it out. We can solve this problem. That's what being an American is. We just have to infuse a little bit more dignity in it. Have those uncomfy conversations, maybe have the frameworks to be able to do those effectively and productively and in ways that don't lead to violence, that don't lead to the, you know, the division that we're seeing.
Preston Brightwell and Madeline Jones are field directors for the Dignity Index. You can find out more about their work at dignityindex.us. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you having us. It's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for getting uncomfy with us today. I don't know about you, but if I had found myself in that conversation, I have to admit that I probably would have just backed away from it, taken all my assumptions with me and stopped having lunch with my coworker, which is obviously not the right approach, but I'm really impressed with how they leaned into it and actually got to a much better place. Super inspiring. Has there been a time in your life when choosing to get or to stay uncomfy has led to an unexpected outcome for you? reach out and tell me about it. Our email is uncomfy@byu.edu. Maybe we'll even have you on the show. Meantime, if you're looking for more thoughtful ways to practice sticking with moments that challenge you, check out my other podcast. It's called Top of Mind. Recently, we looked at why people are so obsessed with true crime and just crime in general. Most Americans say it is a top concern, and 1 in 3 of us consume true crime stories for fun every week. But the truth is that violent crime rates are way down since the 1990s. Most of us in America are safer today than we've ever been. So we dig into the consequences of that and why it exists in the first place. You can listen to Top of Mind on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it with help from Henrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Kelsey Ney composed our theme music. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week.